What's that? Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Brilliant. I'm going to put in as much effort in this as the team have done over the Christmas period. So that's literally all I'm going to say.
I'll see you next week.
Good night.
See you all next week. See you later. Yeah, brilliant. Useless cunts.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got penalty here. They've been fish flying about that. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN35 podcast. Why let's ruin your Christmas spirit that is now gone, artery's gone, and talk about the heaviest defeat the town have suffered at home since 1946. So, you know, let us have it. Whether you be, you know, a disgruntled brother of a midfielder or whether you just be a guy that's had to go and watch that game, we would love to hear from you, even if your opinions are out of your ass. It'd be great to hear and see what you say. We've got a bumper panel today because everybody can't wait to talk about the 3-0 win against a Salford team so shit they haven't been able to score against Town in 180 minutes of football. So that shows you exactly how crap they are. And I'll pass over to everyone else because we got our asses handed to us by a team in a lay-by on the M6. Anybody want to go? Anybody? Nope. Cool.
Hiya, mate.
Hello. Hiya, Bruce.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Did you have a good night last night? Did you do anything?
Not really, no. I'm too bothered. New Year's Eve is a shit night as well. It's just full of coked up arseholes going out to Wetherspoons.
That sounds ideal about now, to be fair.
What, Wetherspoons or the coke? I'd fucking love to give some of our players some of it. Might fucking track back.
Do you know, it was what a strange shit afternoon that was. It was just... I think everyone was that surprised that we were just, there wasn't even any booing. I'm guessing Hannah and Sam were both there. There was just general sort of, even when like after an hour we went 5-1 down, like the people around me just sort of got up and just sort of, most of them just got up and left. They didn't hurl abuse at anybody. They didn't, like I say, whether they've got suddenly refined in the lower, but it was just a very, very strange thing. And, you know, I couldn't believe we were 2-1 down at half time. It was just, yeah, very strange afternoon.
Did you believe we were 6-1 down at full time?
Well, we were 5-1 down. We actually, normally, apologies if I'm squeaky a bit. Me and Maisie, oh, bloody hell.
Brilliant.
We did stay. Normally, I would have left. But we stayed because there was half an hour left, and I couldn't leave half an hour early. But yeah, and we started so well. It was just, yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether it's the players, the manager's trying to ask him to do stuff that he shouldn't. I haven't got a clue, mate. I'll let somebody else go.
Tackleberry says there was no booing at the end as there is nobody left to boo. Which is great. Paul Hurst used to make his substitutes with 80 minutes to go. David Artell makes the ground leave after 80 minutes. The cleaning staff must love him because they get a little bit of their day back.
It was the most empty I'd seen Blundell Park at full time for some time.
Last week.
No, it was way more empty today than it was at full time than it was last week. There was barely any. There must have been 1,000 people left in the ground by the end. I sort of agree with what Bruce said, really. It was a sort of, there was a sort of, I don't know, a kind of unanimous disbelief that we went in behind at half time. For 38 minutes, we were in control of the game. We weren't under any real pressure. They looked a pretty ordinary side, and I was sitting there thinking, if we apply ourselves properly here, we can have quite a comfortable victory. But I sort of tweeted about it an hour ago. It's sort of an extreme manifestation of the frailties that we've seen throughout the season, where we concede one, we concede two, but we haven't conceded bloody six. That's a new low of lows. I thought it was interesting what Artel staff the game, for those of you that heard it, that might have not heard it, he basically talked about that it's helped solidify in his mind certain players are not up to it. Either they're not up to it, what he wants them to do, they can't do it, or they're unwilling to do it, which amounts to the same thing ultimately, doesn't it?
So where's he going to find you? When's he going to find you some 11 new players then? Because
did you have a hand up there, Hannah? Sorry, because there's a lot of people on them. I'm sure he can find 11 new players, but with all these bloody 2 and 3 year deals that we chucked out like confetti in the summer, we were all saying at the time that it was a great thing, and I don't think it'd be revisionist to say it was nobody disagreed with it at the time. We've got ourselves lumbered with some players. Some I would think will improve if they've got better players around them. But in the meantime, some of them need taken out of the side, or have been taken out of the side, but we're not able to move them on.
Okay, fine. All right.
I've silenced everybody.
No, I think you're right. And I think there must have been a little bit of shock actually in the ground, possibly. That's why. Because I think you watch that first half of football, other than the two goals we conceded, I think we dominate that. We play well. We're doing what we should be doing. We're creating chances. We're on top. We're dominating the game. And then it's two defensive absolute blunders again that have put us behind. And, you know, going in at half time, you're thinking similar story, we're on top, similar story to Mansfield. Maybe we shouldn't have been 4-1 at Mansfield, but I think we had enough to be ahead in the game, and I think we did today. And then we've just not come out second half, and they've just blown through us in the first, 15 minutes of the second half. And I'm watching it, and I'm just getting more and more angry and more, you know, just amazed to watch that capitulation, because I've not seen that for a long time. You know, I've seen town teams lose games of football and be dominated, but I've not seen them just be blown away in 15, 20 minutes of football at Blundell Park like that. And I think you are right, Sam. It will have made his mind up quite a bit, as he said, about some players. And I think when you talk about long-term deals, I think there's maybe two of the players we've brought in this summer that you could make that argument with. But I think some of them have been our better players. I'm thinking of the three strikers we've got scoring goals. So they're not a problem. I think this team is a team that can play good football and can get results if we sort that bloody defence out. Because whenever I'm watching us play, I'm panicking watching the defenders try and play football or try and defend. And, you know, if I'm panicking, just watching what's the keeper behind him doing, what's the other players on the pitch doing. So I think we've seen some decent stuff since Artel's been here. We've seen some crap. But I think it will, the games he's had since he's got in will have sort of shown him where he needs to improve. And I think two centre-halves and a midfielder at the absolute bare minimum. And I think if you get those two additions right, you can start to see how we are. When things go right, we do play good football. So I'm really angry and disappointed about today, but I'm not gone off the end, because I don't think Salford made us world beaters. I don't think today makes us relegation certainties. We've seen some okay stuff, but not today.
I think it's interesting. Artel did quite a cryptic interview in a way. It made us all ask a lot of questions. But he did say that some things he'd seen today had confirmed his thoughts. I'm wondering, is that waterfall? Is it Khan? I've got no idea. But he's obviously, you know, tried something and gone, yeah, it doesn't work. So that's an indicator as to where his plans are. But I do agree, we definitely need two centre-backs, a right-back, someone like a holding midfielder. I think we need someone much stronger, like a Ben Fox type of character would be great. You can't fault the strikers, really. Rose is our best player consistently, game in, game out, and as you to watch, to be honest, he gives everything. So yeah, it's a shame he's stuck in a team like ours at the minute, but it's lucky for us, I guess.
Yeah, I'd have a right back, Mike, as almost as high a priority as a centre half. We've debated at length about Mischa Fetti's deficiencies, but Tobin Malarkey's are just as pronounced. They're just different. We are being nothing other, I think, than a bottom third quarter League Two side with those two in the side.
Let's leave to discussing the right back opinion, Sam, because we've done that for a long time. There's five of us on. We've got lots of games to get through. Let's do that instead, because I'm really surprised with the reaction from many that this is our biggest defeat at home since 1946. You know, Hitler was barely cold in the ground. Well, he was quite warm when they burned him, but it was, you know, since we've had this level of defeat. I'm not massively impressed with Artel so far. We haven't had that manager bounce that we're expecting. I'm really surprised that people are so calm. To me, that was a relegation performance. 6-1 is a massive problem. Like, you know, I wasn't massively... Salford are a shite team. Take that Leeds as what you want. I see John Lewis saying, you know, bad day at the office. I'm not sure when we've had a good day, actually, to be perfectly honest. At the moment, and I know it's not his team, he's allowed to, you know, work with what he's got, but he's not acting pragmatically, is he? You know, he's trying to get these players to perform in a way that they're clearly not able to do so.
Look, I mean, I'd get how you can get there, Alex. You know, you've lost 6-1 at home. There's no coat in that. I suppose from my point of view, as maybe somebody you're confused about why I've got the opinion, is I'm so angry about today. I've tried to be objective, and maybe I've made myself sort of bring myself too far the other way. But when I try and look at it on the whole, since he's come in, I've seen good performances away at MK Dons, getting points at Newport, beating Crewe, beating Salford, you know, some good draws away from home, if there is such a thing. And I've seen some crap as well. But what I'm trying to think is the good that we've had is an improvement from where we were before. So if we're taking it in the whole, we are going the right way, but we still have those defensive problems that I think we had when he came in. And I don't think they would change unless you change those players. So trying to be objective about it, we have improved. We've also had a lot of crap at the same time, but I've definitely seen a better team on the whole, even if they can't string that together for full halves, for full games. And it's a good first half and a bad second half. So maybe trying to a little bit go too far the other way by trying not to be instant reaction. But yeah, I think it's just shit. But I think we've been worse, and I think we will improve.
I think what I've seen quite a lot, and I think what Alex is maybe trying to say, is that he's coming and he's trying to change the philosophy. Now, is his job initially to try and get the best out of the players that he's got? And if we are trying to ask, and we're saying that these players can't do this, and we need a this, and we need a that, and we need the other, is his job at the moment to fight the fires rather than, you know, trying to start rebuilding the city or whatever? Do you know what I mean? It's how long do we persevere? Because we're just not going to be able to turn around the quantity of players, I don't think, that Sam's asked for, and not just Sam, but, you know, that Sam and Hannah have talked about, you know, four or five players. I just don't see how we're going to be able to move that many players on. You've got to, we've said for a while, well, we've debated, haven't we, that is it the recruitment was poor? Is it the players are underperforming? We said at the start of the season, they were quite good. And then they were shit. And then it's like, oh, are they as bad as they appear to be? Well, it would appear that the recruitment in the summer was awful, but didn't they say that Joe, the guy, the head of recruitment, didn't he help with the recruitment of the new manager?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think they have a way they want to play football, and that's all tying in together. I don't think it's as big a rehaul as you say, Bruce. I think two centre-backs that are decent defensively and good on the ball change that instantly, because I think the midfield and the attacking third are more than good enough playing the way he wants to play football, because we've seen that. Now, we've seen that at Salford, and we've seen it in other games where Mansfield, and we lost the game, but we had 22 shots on target. Now, Paul's side didn't do that. So we've seen it. We've just not seen it consistently enough, and that's the problem. And I think if you just put two decent centre-backs in there, I think it improves us overnight.
How many shots did Mansfield have? 34.
They had eight. There was 18 for Walsall today. They had six on target, which I think is wrong because there was one save. He made one save. But what I would say, Mike, he talked about the inconsistencies, and you say we'll be all right if we sort the defence out. Can you name me one midfielder or forward apart from Danny Rose that's either fit for most games or is consistent? Who's good every week? Who's good every week apart from Danny Rose?
Holohan, but he's not being picked. Obviously, he's injured.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. No, I agree with Bruce.
Hang on, lads, be careful. I can hear fucking Emmett Holohan coming around the corner to have a shout.
No, I like Gav, but I don't.
I do
think
as well, but he's inconsistent.
When he plays, he's a senior pro. But look at Calm, Eister, Ganua, they're all inconsistent. Sorry, Hannah, go on.
With Holohan, sorry, Bruce, I think he is the most likely to play the five once. Given time and given that training, I think he is one of the right sort of players to have around.
Don't you get the distinct impression with him so far, though? I know he was injured today, that his face doesn't fit, though. Because unless he was carrying an injury, it was strange he wasn't getting picked for the first four or five games of the Artel era. I don't know whether him kind of being a big part of the previous regime or the fact he's 32, whatever it is, I just don't think he's going to be part of the Artel thing going forward. Wrongly, in my view, he's been our second best player this season.
He's probably my favourite midfielder, Sam. And like I say, I think when he has a good game, it has more of an impact than when any of the other midfielders have a good game.
Agreed.
I think his good games are at a level that the others aren't at the moment.
But when he doesn't attain to that level. It's really showing.
He's our top assister as well this season.
He's a good player. He's been our second best player this season, but he does have a shocker in him occasionally. So against Harrogate, I thought he was very poor, for example. But I'd certainly pick him every week. I've spoken a lot already.
It was good to see Vernon back today.
I thought he looked a bit rusty, didn't he? I don't know if you agree. Was it one of his crosses that went into the pontoon, or was it somebody else? But like you say, it's good to get him back on the pitch, and we need him firing on all cylinders because he certainly wasn't doing that at the start of the season. In my opinion,
he had a dodgy cross, but he also put a lot of pressure on one of their balls going backwards as well. I think it resulted in a goal, but the speed, you know, he got up to and how he came across the pitch. So you never know, with a bit more fitness in him, he might come good.
I do think, and I'll probably regret saying this, but I do think that with this season to stay up, you're probably not going to need many more than 15 more points. And there's some teams in there that look absolutely, and I would never have thought at the start of the season I'd be saying that, but if we can get to a point where we can just find a way to pick up a few results. And I've looked at the fixtures and we've got some of the top teams, but this league's not a league that scares you, barring the top two or three this season, I don't think. You look at the likes of Crawley are doing quite well and they're up there, and there's a few others that aren't. You know, there's only really Notts County for me, Stockport and Wrexham, probably the three big spenders, but the rest, you should be able to give a game, even to bigger clubs like Swindon.
What about Mansfield, who've handed out their arse to us three times?
And to be fair, they are in the big spenders category. They've spent money for years, haven't they, Mansfield? But I think if we can get to a point where I don't think we're going to get anywhere near the playoffs. We all got a bit carried away a couple of weeks ago when we were knocking it around and we won that last home game. Or some people got carried away. But I do think, hopefully, if we can pick up the points that we need, then we might have 10 games at the end of the season where we can, or 8 games, 7 games at the end of the season where we can try a few things. I just don't know at the moment whether our approach needs to be a bit of a hybrid one of his new style and the best that we can get out of the players, rather than a full-on commitment to change to what he wants to do in the future moving forward.
A hybrid system's a big risk, Bruce. A hybrid system, you end up potentially doing nothing and being really shit.
I don't mean a hybrid of heat. Well, I just mean a bit of
being pragmatic, and that's what I want to. I'm going to clash with John Lewis a bit tonight because, you know, David Artell has said this as well. He said it's about evolution, not revolution. Well, he's trying to revolutionise the way we play at the moment, and it's just not working. And I'll be honest, he's coming across as a bit of a Holloway when he interviews. To be honest, I don't really trust what he has to say.
That's not quite what he said. Besides that, he basically said that it's January and you can't do a revolution in January. It's got to be evolution. He said in the summer we can maybe be a bit
but
more.
I'm talking Sam. I'm talking about the premise. If he agrees with that, when it comes to that, he surely agrees with it with everything. You can't just revolutionise everything on the spot. It's about incremental gains and evolution. You can't get a load of Division Four cloggers to go and play like, you know, 2008 Barcelona, and he's been shown quite a lot that he's not consistently able to do so. He was very great at MK Dons. For some reason, this team of players were able to be revolutionised after a 45-minute chat with David Artell at the Bradley, but weren't able to be, you know, spoken to by Ben and Sean and Paul beforehand, which says more about the players than it does about anything else. He's got to be pragmatic about what he's got, because at the moment he's got a load of cloggers who aren't capable of playing the football he wants. And that is a deficiency on him not being able to identify that and to do it. Now, maybe he's just trying to use this as a longer period in which he can talk. And I tweeted Mike as well when he only brought on two subs after 70 odd minutes. Is that, you know, that weird ploy that they do where they say, you know, I don't have enough players. I need money for players. I don't know, but you know, I'm just not impressed.
And I think.
Sorry, Mike. You go first.
I said to you, I think we was having a chat, weren't we, Alex? And I said, you know, I can see where you're coming from, but I also think there's a point of he's come in and maybe he wants to see what he's got. You know, he knows there's a January window, so this is how I want to play football. Have I got the players here to do it now? Before today, I don't think you could say yes, but I don't think we would have been as critical before today, because I think you'd have seen it work sometimes and seen it not work other times. After today, as he said in his interview, it's made his mind up about a few things. So you may see him take a little step back from that, but I don't think he can necessarily come in through the door day one and say, right, I need to play this way. He needs to have a little look about what's about, so he can try and get his philosophy across, try and get his message across, and try and make us play a way he wants to play to see if they can or not. And as I say, before today, that question was maybe a little bit more open-ended than it is after getting battered 6-1.
What is it to change that? Sorry, Bruce.
I did wonder during the game, I said to Maisie that I wonder as well if he left them out there because for them to own it, you know, rather than have four or five of them off the pitch, you know, in the dugout with the jackets on when the final whistle went. You've been out there in the second half. It's not going to make any difference to me bringing on subs now at 4-5-1. You stand by what you've done. You're part of that. You've got to see it through to the death. You know, rather than bring on Cam Gardner. I know he brought on Braithwaite and that sort of thing, but maybe he wanted to leave them out there.
You may be right.
I don't think he's going to change, by the way, because if you look at his final season at Croom, I was reading about it. Basically, the issue was that he just Crew, obviously the Crew's maybe a poor example in that, because Crew have a Crew way of playing that he fitted, and he did not change it despite being basically asset stripped of all of his best players. So I think we're gonna have to, you can basically just get your head around the fact that he's not going to change the way he's going to play. He's gonna have to sign some players, and I know a lot of us aren't going to agree with that. Also, a lot of you aren't going to agree. But that's the way it is, I think, without wishing to sound too kind of like final about it.
Can I ask a question? And I think, sorry, Bruce. Go on, mate.
No, it's fine, mate. You go. That's all right.
I was just going to ask a question. I think I asked Alex, and it may be me being a bit dumb, but which quite possible. Today was many of those goals as a result of passing out from the back? Because I know at least four of them I went through, and I couldn't see. You know, one was a corner, one was a penalty, one was Luke Waterfall getting done in the corner for pace, one was not clearing the ball properly.
The second one was playing out from the back, because Glennon's first ball out was just a lazy lump into the middle of the park.
Yeah, I think we had a bit more of a chance with Waterfall's header. He did probably what he could do, but then we didn't get back goal side quick enough to stop the chance.
Well, I think that starts from there. I think that
but,
is playing out.
You know, when you say, oh, playing out from the back's quarters, I think, oh, centre-half played the ball into midfield, got caught and outnumbered. I didn't see much of that. I just saw it being crap defending, crap on the ball, which, if you're pumping it long or you're trying to find a pass, is the same.
Also, no, I agree, Mike. Go on, Anna, sorry. I agree with you, though, mate.
Yeah, they were just a very clinical team, you know. Everything was training ground, you know, perfect. The goals weren't anything astounding, but, you know, when they were on target, they went in, and that's a sign of a good team to me. I think Paul Hurst is maybe, he's been a bit of a safety blanket for us, and, you know, we've always just been used to not really conceding much, but not really scoring much either. And maybe Artel's a bit more bold, and we're all trying to get our heads around this new style, and, you know, it might work come the transfer window, and a bit more training with the players we've got. You know, he might suddenly turn things around and be amazing. But I feel, and probably other fans feel, that this is such a shock to our system of what we're used to. And he is. He's more of a risk taker. He's bolder in how he speaks, how he sets up, how he plays. And it is just very new to us all.
I agree. I think that we said, you know, we're looking to do things positively now, and it's the mistakes of the players that are generally costing us. I think, like you say, Mike, I don't think today is down to the approach of the passing it out from the back. It's whether it's not, because obviously what we're trying to do isn't just passing it from the back. It's passing it throughout the whole team. It's not just at the back. Now, at their first goal, I mean, he looked like malarkey. He was just on his way home from the swashy from last night. He just went past him like he was just stood still. And then you guys probably had a better view on telly than I did from where I was. But nobody went to him. He just had all the time in the world to. Was there nobody nearby? I've only seen it once, so I don't know. But was there nobody there to close that? You know, normally when somebody cuts inside and beats somebody, there's another man. There's another man there, comes across the cover.
I think it was Waterfall. Was it Waterfall who went past?
Oh, was it Waterfall at right?
Yeah, and then he's obviously in his, yeah, he's in his centre back channel then, and Waterfall would have been the one covering.
That's caused by Malarkey going so far forward and not having the kind of athleticism to get back, which is a huge problem that playing Malarkey causes. So an essential A game dragged out into positions like that.
That goal didn't come from one of our repeated poor set pieces, did it? Because there was another one in the first half in front of us where we tried to do something a bit fancy, and a bit like the last home game, it ended up with a counter-attack by them. The set pieces under Paul Hurst and at the moment under David Artel, we used to be quite good at set pieces, but we just offer no threat at all. I mean, they put one in the middle of the penalty area today and it just went in off their player. We didn't have a clue where it was going, but it was in the danger zone, in the mix. We just don't put anything in the mix. And if we do, we seem to give away free kicks.
And I mean, that's sort of why I asked the question I did, Bruce, because, you know, that goal from the corner, that's just poor defending. So does it really matter how we're playing or what we're doing if our defenders are just making those basic errors? You know, Luke Waterfall getting beat in the channel like that and letting a ball drop in the box to somebody. It's not even at head height, it's at chest height in the centre of the box from the corner. It's just criminal. So I just think it shows more about the defensive frailties rather than any style of how we're playing, really.
I think your Holloway comment's a bit harsh at this stage of his town career, Alex, as well, to be perfectly honest.
You are allowed to call me harsh. Everybody else does, apparently, but he comes out with some bullshit, I'll tell you that, and it starts from that Mansfield one. He does make up some rubbish. Maybe it's just his way. Maybe it's mind games, maybe it's like that, but, you know, that's fine. It's the vibe.
It's not a good, but when you look at what Holloway's done, when you look at Holloway's reputation at the club, I just think it's a bit of a statement to say that he reminds you of Holloway.
Hang on, Sam. Fucking hell, Sam Barrick show again. I don't think it is unfair, Bruce. I mean, you could go with, I don't know anyone else who tried to use interviews in the same way and didn't really report on honest feedback on what the game was. Now, it might just be a larger story, but there are times when I'm listening, and maybe it is that protective blanket that Hannah talks about with Hurst. I know what I got with Hurst. He saw the same game that I did. When I listen to Artel, I think, what fucking planet are you on sometimes, mate? When, you know, we're talking about the Mansfield game, and I understand his thought process of, we could have been ahead against Mansfield. It's like, mate, you just got absolutely battered in that second half. I don't really think you should be talking about, we could have been leading in the first half, because that isn't true. And that's where I get it from. And Holloway was like that. And I can't think of another manager that was. If there is, bring him forward and I'll say that he's like that.
Well, I mean, there is that example. And I think he was factually correct, but maybe a bit too much the wrong way, and possibly doing that for an effect with the players to try and not let them get too down. You know, we could have been ahead in the Mansfield game, but we weren't. But other than that, I think he's been bang on with the stuff he said. Other than that comment in that interview, I pretty much agreed with most of what he said.
I'll start bringing him out then.
I think with Hurst, he was always so black and white with his interviews, and perhaps there's more psychology at play with Artel, like Mike said. You know, he says things in a certain way for the fans, for the players, for the opposition. And, you know, he's very intelligent, as the owner said when they brought him in. Perhaps he does say things for effect more, and it's the dramatic side that you might see as similar to Holloway.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that there's two of you on this podcast today that have said he gave quite a cryptic interview.
Yeah,
so, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say that, Bruce, I'll be honest. Maybe you're thinking of how shit he was, but then again, when I say Holloway is shit, I also get blam blasted by about 20 other people that say Holloway was actually quite good. So, you know.
He's certainly more dynamic, which you can say the same for Holloway.
He certainly is dynamic, yeah.
That follows, though. So, if we're going to sort of, if his kind of demeanour reflects his style of football, which I think is kind of what we're trying to get at a little bit here, then it could go both ways. It could go badly wrong, this, without wishing to kind of over-dramatise it too much. We could end up in a serious relegation battle with a pretty un-relegation battle-looking team to me, if you get what I mean by that. And that's not very well explained, but it don't look like the sort of side that's going to be very adept at grinding out points and 3 points if we really need them, I don't think. I don't think it will get to that. I think it's probably a good thing we've got 2 weeks before the next game and he's got a chance to sort of maybe get a few players back from injury. That's something we've not mentioned at all. We've got a lot of injuries. And get some of his own players in, maybe before the next game. Because it wasn't fantastic on Tuesday, on Friday night. It's not now disastrous, I don't think. Although the second half today was pretty as low as it needs to be getting. Let's face it.
I probably, whether it's just being battered down by the last 15 or 20 years, but I don't feel as bad as I think I used to do or would have done about a 6-1 defeat and everything. And I don't know if it's because, like you say, that I mean, the first, you know, to concede 6 at home is appalling, don't get me wrong, but I can see little bits. I just don't know which way it's going to go at the moment. Like I say, whether he's going to have to adapt it a bit, or like you say, Sam, he won't do that and we will just persevere with this until we either die on the sword or it starts to work. I don't know, but it's, you know, when you've been beaten 6-1, it sounds ridiculous, but we did everything, nearly everything right in the first half, and I don't think a lot of them, certainly the two goals we conceded in the first half were just rank poor defending. They're nothing to do with the new manager or anything like that. The recruitment, the retainment, some of them's got to be questioned, and I just don't know at this level how we can clear out the number of players that at the moment look like they need clearing out.
So, largest home defeat in 77 years, 20th in the league, 3 points over Christmas. All good. Great. Brilliant. Nice to see. I'm with such a positive bunch. What do you want to talk about now? Because I'm bored. To be perfectly honest, I don't know what to say. Someone else take it.
Do you want to talk about maybe individually which players we think are, because there's two stages to this, aren't there? There's the kind of, I think, the stay up this season at all costs, cannot go back to non-league again, versus the kind of long-term view, which is maybe moving on to kind of the more Artel ball-based thing. Who's good enough to do both of those roles? Or are we looking at basically another clear-out?
Yeah, because I think what you're basically saying is there's players that you don't think there's any hope for them in this system. There's players that you're still not convinced of.
yeah. For example,
I know Conte's come into a lot of criticism. He's probably rightly, but I still think he's a player that can play football at this level in this team, as opposed to maybe Waterfall, where I've made my mind up. I think you've got to start with the defenders. I think Rodgers, I'm starting to believe probably, you know, how many chances can you get and how many times can you do things wrong? I think, sadly, my opinion on Waterfall hasn't changed. Malarkey, interestingly today, I heard him give an interview that he's not actually played right back much. It's always right side of a three, so I don't know why the hell we're playing him at right back if he's not a right back then. So there's quite a few players, yeah. Not too sure where I land, but definitely the defenders, you're looking at a good portion of those defenders I think you need to clear out.
I'll be honest, I was writing down before I started this which players I actually think are good enough, and I got Cartwright, who isn't our player, Danny Rose, obviously, Gav Holohan, Niall Marr, and Anthony Glennon. You can make a case, I think, that Conte more so than Rodgers aren't lost causes, but the rest of them are kind of much for muchness and probably kind of lower end relegation League Two players or non-league players. But yeah, that's a long post.
You keep talking, Sam. Everybody else reads it. That's how it works.
Sorry. Okay. Does anybody broadly disagree or agree with that? Because I'm really thinking that we're going to see quite a sea change of the squad, if not in January, because of the reasons we've talked about. But in the summer, we're going to be basically starting from scratch again.
I roughly agree. I think there's a few more names you could add. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with Danny Amos as a backup at left back. I think he's as a backup to Glennon, who else would you need, really? He does all right when you put him in every now and then.
I don't know whether he's injured or just kind of out of favour, because he's not featuring any squads for weeks.
He did have an injury, but I've got no idea if he's recovered from that or not. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. As a backup left back, just about, maybe. In saying, I think there's a place for Greeny in any League Two squad, but as a squad, not a starter.
Yeah.
I think you've got a positive that all three of the strikers, you know, unfortunately two of them have suffered injuries this season, but all three of them have scored goals at a decent goals per game. You know, with Danny Rose spoken about, he's up to, what, 11 in all competitions already. And I think you've got probably Conte, because if he comes good, he's going to be worth a lot of money and a player. I think you'd probably want to keep Clifton involved, just for his energy and the job he does for the team. He really needs to nail a place down and improve. But I think every squad needs that sort of player about. Hunt, you know, I'm starting to think maybe he hasn't had he hasn't taken the chance he's been given to nail that spot down. And then you're looking at some of the older pros like Houlihan, and you're thinking, you know, we really need you to step up now. And if you can't, and he's not the only one, there's several of them, but if you can't, then do we need to bring in other senior pros that will?
We need Craig Disley.
So people keep talking about who's left on contract. I'll show you who's left by the end of this year, thanks to Colin Mighty. There will be 10 players left. Jake Eastwood, Malarkey, Rodgers, Conte, Hunt, Burnham, Gardner, Pike, Rose and Wilson. So that's it. And only one, two, three of them are here for a season after the next season to follow, which is Rodgers, Burnham, and Gardner.
There's not too, it's not too bad on the long-term things. I mean, if Rodgers comes good, which he could.
It's just something to batter the board with, which is what I'm seeing a lot. Just something to batter the board with.
You know, you get this thing, you know, it's not always going to work. And, you know, I don't think it has worked, but I don't think it's gone spectacularly wrong yet. But, you know, what was the thing last year? Get your checkbook out, buy players, don't want development loanees, get players here, get them on long deals. And, you know, you do that and it's football. It's not always going to work. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it, you know. But I think they've shown backing of the manager in getting players in. And I think they'll show that again in January and next summer. So, you know, we don't have to always look for something that some people do, just always look for a stick to batter people with. I mean, at the end of the day, who cares if they're on a 3-year deal? It's the owner's money. If it's their mistake, it's their money.
I think, like, we asked for longer contracts, didn't we? We asked for that in the summer. I don't think that anyone in the boardroom expected that they would have had to get rid of Paul Hurst before Christmas.
No, Jason said that in his explicitly in his pre-match interview that I said he didn't think he'd be sitting here talking about having changed manager at the start of the season.
Bloody hell, John, me and you have actually agreed on something tonight. All those players under contract will make reasonable squad players at the very least, which is true.
Do you know what I think? Do you know what I think we need to give a call to? Andy Smith, he's played one game for Hull City this year.
Jim Turner said, Arto wants us to be steals, but many of the players are Seaway, which is the most crispy response I've heard for a long time.
But we get it. We get it, don't we?
The Seaway players. That's the title sorted.
Yeah, we asked for steals and we got Seaway.
I think the most frustrating thing is we're going into a 2-week break now with no game next week, which is good in terms of it gives him time in the training field, gives time for players to get back, gives us time to bring some reinforcements in. I never really buy this "or you want to put it right" thing. But if we'd had even just drawn and not been so bad today, it'd be an entirely different feel. You know, because everybody was up after Salford. I went there and won 3-0, and then we've just not backed it up. So it's always funny, isn't it? When you get these long breaks on the back of a defeat, you feel worse than if we had this break before we got battered, if that makes sense.
I'll try and be positive with it. That 6-1 is going to hang on their useless shoulders for quite a while, and hopefully they're going to be chomping at the bit to put it right. Now, they have had many chances to put it right this season, have of all completely fucking failed every time they've been offered the opportunity. But with some newer players, they might have a chance of doing so. Is that, you know, that's me being optimistic. Bruce, what were you going to say?
There's a little gap opening up at the bottom of the table. Obviously, the bottom two are adrift at the moment, and they look like staying that way. And I think Salford and Colchester, I know it's obvious because they're below us in the league, but I think they're both worse than we are. Like I said earlier, I don't think... you might be replaying this in May, but I don't think that we are in a relegation struggle. Not because we're not a great side, but because there are a couple of really poor sides this season. But we'll see how that pans out. But that's my current feeling anyway.
Don't talk
that
about
sounds very sounds very 2009. That does.
Don't talk about relegation.
Bruce. Not a clue. not a chance. Sorry. Hang on, Sam. Sorry. No, 2009, we were absolutely dog shit.
I remember that conversation. Don't worry, Bournemouth.
We were Harrington Street dog shit. at the moment, if we're doing whatever, what's the word for that thing that we see? Way analogies. If we're doing analogies, at the moment we're Grimsby Road dog shit. All right, if we get a bit better, then we're moving up towards the high street.
Do you mean Christmas 2009 going into 2010 or the season before that, Alex?
No, 1909 probably, up there, Bruce.
No, the season before that when our saviour, Lord Fenty, was lifted upon the shoulders of the grateful serfs to praise us from avoided relegation after Luton were docked 27 points, Chester were docked 15 and Bournemouth were docked 17. And the intelligent Grimsby fans that we all are worship this man as the exultant saviour that he was.
Yeah, we're nowhere near us, but we were basically bottom of the Football League by some distance.
I wasn't saying that. We were saying exactly the same thing then, though, saying there are two other teams that are going to get relegated above us. Don't you worry about it.
I think it's maybe...
Beware the Ides of March.
I think we would finish above more than two. I don't think in terms of where we're going to... I think it's... Overall, it's a disappointment we're not better than how crap we are, if that makes sense. I think we all wanted to push at improving on last year's performance in the league and maybe an outside shot at the playoffs, and there's no chance of that now. I think there'll be six or seven teams worse than us when the table finishes. And as Bruce said, you may watch this back in May and laugh, but... I don't think we're anywhere near as bad.
It's interesting that Colchester's just sacked their manager, and didn't they just get him at a similar time to Artel?
Maybe a few weeks before, but that's the second manager they've sacked this season for certain. Yeah.
There's an option. Hot sauce.
Are you already teetering, thinking that we might have got this wrong?
A little bit. But I'm also very much today. I'm pissed off because that is you can get sacked on that performance on its own. You know, the biggest defeat in 77 years is not a small thing, and I'm quite surprised that everybody's quite trying to, you know, do that Grimsby thing where they're trying to brush it over and say it's acceptable. We'll take some small nuggets of inspiration because we passed the ball twice in 90 minutes, sort of thing.
How much of it is his fault?
I don't know.
You're saying it's a sackable game. Hang on. It's a sackable game. We're being very, whatever you just said, basically accepting it. Where are the players' mistakes in the first half? David Artel's mistakes. They would have made those mistakes if we'd have appointed Jurgen Klopp today.
Do you reckon?
They would have done the same thing. I don't see it. Shit, and it's
so you think that result So you think that result would have happened whoever was in charge today?
No, I didn't say that. The mistakes would have been.
You
made
said if
same.
Klopp was in charge.
Klopp, all right. Effectively, yes.
Okay.
How would a different manager have stopped Luke Waterfall getting outpaced at the back? How would they have stopped us doing what we did? There was maybe one goal. I haven't seen the goals again, but there was one goal apparently that was as a result of us playing out from the back. The players are the ones. I sound like Russell Slade now. I don't know, the Frenchman. But
no, I agree. The players are shit.
The players are the ones who are not performing.
I agree. The players are shit. And I said that 3 weeks ago after Mansfield, and I got lambasted on my personal account for it again. But the players are the ones to blame. We've changed the guys at the top. We've changed the manager. We've changed the coaching system. We've put in more things, and we're still shit. Now, is it a Grimsby thing? Maybe. I don't know. But also, at the same time, that is a result that can get managers a sack. If you lose that heavily after the biggest defeat in 77 years, it can get a manager a sack. It won't get him sacked because it would be lunacy to do so, but it's not out of the way to say if you lose that so heavily, you can get sacked for a result like that.
Had he been here for half a season or more, I may agree with you, but I don't think, given the amount of time that he's been here, I don't think...
So I'm not wrong? I'm not saying he's going to get sacked.
No, in context, no. But sorry, in what you're saying, yes. But in the context of this appointment and where we are, then yes, I think you are.
It's certainly the sort of, say we'd beaten Doncaster that day and he'd clung on, and today had happened under Hurst, that would have got Hurst sacked, wouldn't it? But so early into his spell, I think it's I see what you're saying, Alex. You're basically saying it's unacceptable, and if he was shown the door tonight, you couldn't really complain.
I don't mean it like that. I think he needs, you know, he's got January is going to be, he's going to bring in two permanent signings and he's going to bring in three loan players. That's probably where we're going to get at for that. I think we're going to squeak over the line. I think we'll be, you know, I think it's going to be absolutely torrid and it's going to be awful. And we're going to have to pay over the odds for those two players that we signed permanently because these players are so shit, they've put us 20th. And any player will go, well, I want to make sure that if I get relegated, I'm looked after. And then I think we will finish 17th. And then I think we'll go into the summer with renewed hope. We'll all expect us to push for promotion and we'll finish 11th. And that'll be about it.
Under that, though, Artel starts next season and under your guys, right under pressure, because you're basically saying that you're giving him a sort of free pass until the end of the season because they're all not really his players. And then we're kind
it's
of
the way
like,
it is,
we're gonna
isn't
have to,
it?
Well, I don't know. I just don't like this constant kind of, we lose a couple of games and he's immediately right under pressure. I think we need to give him a hell of a lot longer to kind of deduce any kind of meaningful conclusions.
It's a weird one because I'm really critical of it. We played wonderfully under MK Dons. We played wonderfully at Oxford. We, you know, probably didn't come away with what we should have got from those two games. But I think there's been enough time for Artel to understand now the players' capabilities and, you know, fallibilities when it comes to playing. And I think he needs to be a slightly more pragmatic in his approach. And Bruce comes to me and says, well, what would you have changed? Well, I wouldn't have had Luke Waterfall at the back that much. I wouldn't have given Malarkey as much free rein to go forward as he could do. And the same with Glennon, because our one frailty is in our defence. And we continue to allow those gaps and to allow someone with the pace of Luke Waterfall, who I could beat in a foot race, be the last man standing, is a problem. And is a tactical problem as well, I would say, unless Malarkey is just, and I wouldn't suggest he wouldn't do, has just gone off on his own, you know, tick-tocking away, saying, this is what I do on the right, and then wondering where everyone is behind him. It's everyone's to blame. Everyone's to blame. Everyone's shit. I hate everybody.
The Notts County game certainly has a bit more pressure on it now, doesn't it? Which is a hard game as it is, against a team that generally is free scoring. Against our frail mentality, it does certainly put more pressure on that than if we picked up a result today to back up the result at Salford. It certainly doesn't feel like a free hit now.
And I think I go back to the fact that Salford were really shit. We beat Salford. I'm sure.
Was it just me, or did nobody get any?
No,
of that?
You broke up there, mate. Literally, off your second
word.
I think
that.
Oh, he's struggling.
I said, David Artell's rung his internet provider up already, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got his IP address marked, hasn't he? They're just checking it out. That might be. We're sort of. That might be a good time to. To call it a day, mightn't it? I think we haven't even discussed the other games, have we? But it feels like when you've been beaten 6-1 that you don't need to, you can't really talk about anything but that, can you? Because it's such a shocker.
You can't, but I mean, and you know, I'm not excusing it at all. It's a shite performance and it has no excuse at all, but teams do get battered in season sometimes. Don't make it any better, but you know, you see some of the best teams get battered. I think if we had this discussion 2 days ago, we'd be a lot more positive. And whilst it was terrible today, I haven't decided to jump off a bridge quite yet.
And for 38 minutes today, we weren't that bad. There's enough encouragement there to avoid hitting panic buttons, I think. Maybe I'm naive and blindly optimistic, but I don't think I am at this stage.
Anything else you want to add, Hannah, or discuss or talk about?
No, not really. I agree with most of what's been said, to be honest. I think Artell's been biding his time for that long without a team, that he wouldn't have taken this job if he wasn't certain he could make an impact. And he's going to give it all he's got. He's got this window, and I think we should see that as a positive, and maybe, you know, reassess how he does a few weeks after that. But it wasn't a great day today, but, you know, he's not been bad from the start.
I think we need your level-headed rationalness not more often, Mike, don't we? Just to keep us all in check. Yeah, next time you see us flapping, just tap on the link and come on and just calm us all down, because we certainly, the four of us, all have our moments.
Oh, I mean, I do too. You know, at the start of today's game, I was sat there going, you know, I'm so glad to see Waterfall back, and, you know, isn't it great? He's holding the line. And then 40 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? But I think it's the wrong time of the season to put like too much criticism on Artell. And yeah, we'll see what the transfer window has to offer.
We are a funny bunch, though, because, you know, a lot of football fans like a bet, don't they? And after we beat Salford 3-0, you know, how many of those people that say, oh, I'll never back Town on me, never put Town on me coupon, banged them on because we won 3-0 at Salford today. You know, it'd be like, we're going up, we lose a game. All right, we got hammered today and that was appalling, but we lose a game, don't we? Oh, we're going down. And then next week, we'll somehow get a 1-0 against Notts County or something. Oh, playoffs, here we come. We are very...
Maybe the hammering was what we needed. Maybe you need to let all those goals in to just then go, right, that's that, draw a line, start again.
That would bear scrutiny if we kept more than one clean sheet since September. But
hopefully it might help them. You know, he might be going into training tomorrow probably, and saying, you know, look, everyone thinks you're shit. It's a new thing to, you know, the old Paul Hurst siege mentality. You know, maybe he can try and get that sort of reaction out of them, because the others don't seem to be working on a consistent basis.
What we need is pragmatic football, a siege mentality.
No, Sam, no. Let it go.
No, I'm not. I'm not Sam. You can read your own deductions into that one, but no.
Sam, I saw somebody tweet today that Artel needs his own number two. What about Paul Hurst?
Hurst would never come here as a number two.
I'm only joking. For fuck's sake.
That'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant, but it won't happen. He's going to get. He was the bookie's favourite to Salford this morning, apparently, I read.
Especially with some of the veiled comments Artel's made about the previous regime.
Mm.
What did he say?
Nothing specific, just little things when he's talking about how he's trying to get them on the training pitch and how it was before and stuff. Nothing obvious and overtly bad, but you can read between the lines some of the stuff he's been a bit critical of what's gone before.
All managers do that because they make it sound harder for themselves than it is, to make it sound like they've done a better job than they actually have. He said Hurst did it when he last came back.
When he took over from the chaos that was the last season in the Football League.
We're going to clip the COVID season. Next year. Oh, he's ruined it now. Can't clip it. Use it next year now.
Just say it again. Say it again, Bruce, and none of us will pretend it's happened.
Everything will be fine. Nothing will go wrong now.
It's like the last season in the Football League.
I think I need to get a video of you all clapping.
What? Happily?
Happily clapping.
Sorry, I'm the most negative Town fan on Twitter, so I can't be indulging in that one.
Yeah, you weren't off for long, were you?
Yeah, it was a good 2 days off, that was.
You want 2 days even?
It was just 26, 27, 28, and most of 29. I came back.
By the time you finished Auntie's lunch, you reinstated your account.
There were people still eating ham from when you left Twitter when you came back.
Yeah, to be fair, I was still fighting Sprout.
Someone at the game to me today said, oh, you're alive.
Well, that hitman didn't work.
That's because Nolan said you died.
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
I had to explain that one to my dad. That was an interesting
when an American tries to do banter.
I had somebody message me on Facebook, clicked that photo and said, what happened to Sam? That's really sad. Genuinely.
I had someone on Twitter.
So one of my friends from Parliament rang me up, absolutely pissed out of his mind, about 11:30 on the 27th or something, and said, are you all right, Sam? Because I've seen
what was he disappointed with, disappointed when your dad didn't answer.
Oi.
I have to say, though, did you notice how he brought in the end, when he was trying to excuse it or make it funny, he'd been American, he had to bring bloody guns into it and said you'd been gunned down by Paul Hurst. That was very American, wasn't it? He didn't say you've been blown up or anything.
Gunned down. You've been gunned down.
Or hit by a car. You've been gunned down in a massacre. Right, I think we need to go. Sorry.
I want to go and watch.
Alex, you're the host. You're the host.
Don't want to be. Yeah, great. See you all next week. Oh, no, we're not. Do we have to do one next week? Can they take another week off?
We've got nothing to talk about next week, have we? Unless we sign, you know, Pele and Maradona, but you know, I think
we've signed two dead people.
Bigger issues in Peyton, I wonder.
Kill. Oh,
still
my
faster
God.
Than waterfall.
Shot to pieces.
And on that note.
Right. Well, thank you, everyone.
We are a knowledgeable pod, though, aren't we? We are a knowledgeable panel. Mike was just unfortunate that the two players that he'd named then were dead.
So the most well known, biggest players in the world. Both dead. Oh dear. What are we going to do? That's true.
Well, it's been lovely to see you all, and I hope you all enjoy your New Year's Day and have a happy New Year.
Can't criticise a dead person, can you? Well, you can't be sued by a dead person.
I'm going to remind you next time you criticise Margaret Thatcher for that, after you said that.
I thought you were going to say something about yourself then, Sam.
Literally, that was bang on the hour until he brought a Tory up. Do you see that? Bang on
back,
the hour.
Sam's back from the dead.
Thank God it's not Thatcher. Jesus Christ, nearly shat myself. Thanks, Bruce. Can't be dealing with that as well. 2024 just got worse. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you for this therapy session. Much appreciated. Yeah, look forward to getting hammered with you next time. Be brilliant. Great. Anything anybody wants to say before we go? Good.
Bye.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life running there. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got plenty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece!